Well, hello and welcome to our harvest service from Grove House Farm here, the farm of Helen and Michael Simpson. It's great to be with you, and whether you're watching online, whether you're watching at St Andrews, whether you are a regular with us or whether you're a visitor logging in for the first time, you are really welcome to be with us for our harvest service this year. I'm out on tour. We're going to share particularly later on about what it means to be a people with a heart for justice. But as we begin this service today, I'd love you to pause. And at this time where just the news is filled with perhaps more anxiety over what's going to happen in the next few months as coronavirus seems to be taking off again, we come this morning to remind ourselves that we come to worship a God who is faithful. Lamentations 3 verses 20 to 23 says this: "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And we want to just pray, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you that you are a God who loves us and is with us. And we ask now that you would lead us in worship to you. And so whether you're at St Andrews or whether at home, I invite you to stand. If you're at home, sing this out loudly. If you're at St Andrews, then find another way of worshipping God. Perhaps mouth it as we hear these words of this great hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness."
Great is thy
Well, I'm really delighted to have a real-life farmer with us for our harvest service this year. We've got Michael and we've got Helen, who's our church warden here on Grove House Farm. And we just thought we'd just find out a little bit about what goes on here. So, Michael, tell us, what do you grow here on the farm?
Well, we're mainly an arable farm, so we grow wheat, oilseed rape, peas, barley. We make quite a bit of hay for horse hay to go down to Newmarket, and we also have sheep which graze the land in the winter.
Brilliant.
So those are the main crops.
So you're quite busy.
It sort of gives us work 12 months of the year.
Yeah. So. And what's the harvest been like this year? What's this year been like for growing crops?
Well, it's probably been the hardest year weather-wise and yield-wise that we've known since we've farmed. Yeah. We've been here 30-odd years, and the combination, it all started back, it was probably about this date, end of September last year, that it was a glorious day, and then the next day it rained, and then it rained, and it rained, and it never stopped raining until probably the end of March. So we got very little crops in the ground in the autumn, where we usually have 90% of our crops are planted in the autumn, and this year we probably had 10% planted in the autumn. So that caused a problem that we had to then plant the crops in the spring, which were lower yielding and less valuable crops. So it meant a busy time in April, May, planting the crops. And then, of course, we had that very bad drought as soon as we planted the crops.
And ignore the aeroplane going over.
And so that put the crops under a lot of stress, and hence that we had very poor yields, really. But we've managed to harvest it. We finished harvesting about a week ago, so it's all in the barn.
And this is one of your combine harvesters?
This is one of the combine harvesters, right. Yes. So this, when the crops ripen, the oilseed rape is usually the first crop to ripen in the middle of July.
Yeah.
So that's the first crop that we combine. And then we move on to the wheat, and then the barley follows, the spring barley follows afterwards.
Great, fantastic, well done. And Helen, tell us, what can we pray for farmers at the moment? See, we want to be praying for those people who are serving us in our community. What can we pray for them at the moment?
I think the biggest thing is stress. And I think, you know, as I explained, the weather, you know, the trauma of, what can we do? Well, we can't do that, we need to do this. And then you're swapping and changing, and the stress is pretty high on, it's a daily stress, and you're daily dependent on the weather. So I think the first thing is stress. And then for the weather to work with us, so that we can get on the land.
And just as you said that, the sun's come out.
Yeah, I know. And as farmers, we always want sun, and then we want rain, and can't please us all, but we're so dependent on the weather. And then, of course, we need a good price to sell the product on.
Yeah,
and we're very dependent on that, because our input yields costs have gone very high. So it's the balancing of it all.
Great. Well, we're going to pray for farmers later on in the service. And we want to say to you, as we've thanked our NHS people over the last few months, we want to say you as key workers, we want to thank you too for all the work that you've done in serving us and in providing us with food over these last difficult months. And we will pray blessing on your farm in these coming months. Thanks for being interviewed today and
thank
for letting
you.
Us film at your farm.
You're very welcome.
Well, we've said thank you to our farmers for all that they've done, but we want to also say thank you to God for his provision and for all that he gives us. So I'd love you to join in with the words. Children, it's really easy. All you need to say is when I say and we say, you join in with thank you. So the world is filled with the glory of God, and we say thank you. The hills and the valleys are filled with colour, and we say thank you. The vines and trees are filled with fruit, and we say thank you. The farmers and shopkeepers have worked hard to give us food, and we say thank you. Our life is filled with love of family and friends, even though we may not be able to see them all at this time, and we say thank you. Thank you, God, for all your good gifts to us. Help us to share your gifts to others, with others. Amen. Well, I want to just, before the children and young people go off to their activities, which are all on the website, and the young people are meeting in person at St Andrews, I want to just share with you a real encouragement from last Sunday. So last Sunday we had our first ever early bird service, and we had, I think it was 28 people and 8 families who turned up. Here's a picture of it. And we had great fun for just half an hour, having a drama, having a craft, having some prayers and doing some action songs. And I was really hoping that I would be able to show you and play you an action song so that you could join in that we did last week called Shine. But unfortunately, it's copyright and we're not able to, but there is a link underneath this service, and I really encourage you to perhaps pause it now, this film now, and click on the link and sing that great song, Shine, from the inside out, and enjoy that before our children and young people go off. But thank you, children and young people. I hope you've enjoyed being with us on the farm today, and we pray for you for God's blessing this morning. I want to just give one more notice too, and that is that we are going to be starting on October the 11th in the evening, on a Sunday evenings, a Sunday evening Zoom service we're calling it, but we're particularly going to be going through a course called Mission Shaped Living, which is a really fantastic course. I've been looking at it and preparing it this week to help us live our lives as followers of Jesus in the normal places of life. It particularly builds on the prayer training that we had last January and the frontline stuff we've been talking about. It's really practical. We'll be having some worship together, but we'll also be breaking off into breakout groups and having some interactive discussion on there. There's more details on the website. If you would like to book into that, then please do email the church office and book into that, and we can send you the Zoom details. And you will need a book, which is going to be, if you can, able to contribute £6 for that. All the details are on the website and on this week's mailing, but we'd love you to come and join us for that. Today we're going to be thinking particularly about a people who have a heart for justice. And we're going to have our Bible reading now, which is from Isaiah 58. And after that, we'll have a time to reflect on that reading and go into a time of confession. But I really encourage you, if you've got a Bible with you or nearby, go and grab it and have this passage open as it gets read to us now.
The reading is from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 to 12 from the Message Bible. Shout, a full-throated shout, hold nothing back, a trumpet blast, shout. Tell my people what's wrong with their lives. Face my family Jacob with their sins. They're busy, busy, busy at worship and love studying all about me. To all appearances, they're a nation of right-living people, law-abiding, God-honouring. They ask me, what's the right thing to do? And love having me on their side. But they also complain. Why do we fast and you don't look our way? Why do we humble ourselves and you don't even notice? Well, here's why. The bottom line on your fast days is profit. You drive your employees much too hard. You fast, but at the same time you bicker and fight. You fast, but you swing a mean fist. The kind of fasting you do won't get your prayers off the ground. Do you think this is the kind of fast day I'm after? A day to show off humility. To put on a pious long face and parade around solemnly in black. Do you call that fasting? A fast day that I, God, would like?
This is the kind of fast day I'm after, to break the chains of injustice, get rid of exploitation in the workplace, free the oppressed, cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad, being available to your own families. Do this and the lights will turn on and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help and I'll say, here I am. If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about the other people's sins. If you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest places. Firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew, rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and may the community livable again.
Thanks be to God.
So in response to that reading, let us confess where we've not lived as God wanted us to live. When our worship has been more about us than about you, Lord, have mercy. When our songs have ignored the pain of your broken body on earth, Christ, have mercy. When our services have been more of an escape for us than good news to the poor, Lord, have mercy. When we praise you with our lips, but deny you with our finances, Christ, have mercy. When our instruments are louder than our cries for justice, Lord, have mercy. When we fail to learn from the sacrificial worship of brothers and sisters across the world, Christ, have mercy. And may God forgive us our sins, cleanse us by the blood of Christ, and fill us with his Holy Spirit to lead lives of worship that bring his resurrection power to our broken worlds and inspire acts of worship which reflect his heart for justice, mercy and humility. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. And let's continue in prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have created all things, and we praise you for the harvest. We thank you for your love for us, for the gifts that the sun and the rain have nurtured, for the care and skill of our farmers, and we give thanks for the blessings of food, provision and nourishment.
Sow a seed of peace in our lives, Lord, that we might bear the fruits of forgiveness, compassion and righteousness. Help us to always show goodness, patience and kindness in abundance. Sow a seed of love in our hearts, Lord, that others would reap the blessing of family, friendship and community. May each seed of hope, peace and love grow within us and be a blessing to others.
Make us always thankful and give us generous hearts to share what we have with those who have little. Help us to appreciate and nurture this beautiful world you have created.
Lord, we pray that church can be a welcoming and inclusive place for everyone. Even though currently we may not all be able to gather together in the same building, we pray as a people that we may be a beacon of light and hope to our community.
The Gospel of Jesus tells us that every person is our neighbour. Teach us compassion and give us opportunities to reach out to others.
Thank you that you always hear us when we call upon your name, Jesus. We pray for unity, solidarity in our world. We continue to pray against racial discrimination and injustice. We pray for world peace.
Holy Spirit, help us to be wise in our everyday conversations with others. Help us to be discerning, to create a margin with our time for others. Give us courage to stand against injustice, poverty, oppression, and give us unconditional love and care for all of humanity equally.
We pray for a God-fearing government to make wise decisions according to your will. We pray for universities, schools, the NHS, all key workers, those who work in the media, and all who influence the opinion of others. We ask for your protection over vulnerable people and those who have elderly relatives in care homes that they are unable to visit. We especially pray for all who suffer from coronavirus, the dying, the sick, the isolated, and the lonely. We continue to pray for the work of all hospitals and health workers. Lord, bring comfort and strength to the bereaved.
We pray against a spirit of anxiety, fear, and division in our world, asking for your peace among the nations, in our homes and in our hearts, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be joining you as we continue our series on being kingdom people. And today we are thinking specifically about having a heart for justice. In our reading, we heard some examples of social injustice that God highlighted to his people over 2,500 years ago. So how do we compare today? Let's start with some facts and figures. The International Labour Organization estimates that there are nearly 25 million people in forced labour in the world, and 15.5 million in forced marriage. Perhaps two-thirds of those are aged under 18. That means that there are 5.4 victims of modern slavery for every 1,000 people on the planet. 1 in 9 people do not have access to clean water. And 800 children die from diarrhea as a result every single day. 2 billion people don't have somewhere safe to go to the toilet. 200 million people live in areas that will be below sea level by the end of the century. And another 160 million will be affected by greater flooding. People from black and ethnic minority backgrounds make up 14% of the general population in England and Wales, but they make up 25% of the prison population. And a review in 2017 concluded that the justice system is biased against those groups. So the injustices that God spoke out against through Isaiah are still here, and sadly, in some ways, some cases, they appear to be getting worse. In the face of such overwhelming numbers and huge issues, it's tempting to wonder what on earth we can do. Is it even worth bothering to try? Isn't that for the experts to try and do something about? But the big question we have to think about, I believe, today is this. As kingdom people, is concern for justice mandatory? Or is it optional? Is it something that we can delegate to those people who are interested in it, or those with influence? The judges, the politicians, the crime agencies, even Manchester United footballers, as we've seen this summer. Well, let's start by looking at God's view on the subject. Even a cursory glance at the Bible shows that it is stuffed full with examples of God's concern for justice. There's even a version of the New International Version of the Bible called God's Justice, which highlights all the relevant sections and adds study notes and guides. You really cannot see anything other than the fact that God is passionate about justice. And a couple of chapters on from our reading today, in Isaiah 61, he states, "I, the Lord, love justice." And in our passage today, he said that he cares more about people demonstrating justice than he does about them observing religious duties. And that's reiterated in a well-known passage from Micah chapter 6, which ends up saying, "What does the Lord require from you? To act justly and to love mercy." God is passionate about justice. How he must hate so much of what he sees in the world. And we see this passion for justice modelled in the life of Jesus. This was really explicit from the very start of his ministry. In Luke 4, when he returned from the desert, we're told he went to the synagogue in Nazareth, and he chose that passage from Isaiah chapter 61. And he read out, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me to preach good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for the prisoner, to release the oppressed, That sounds familiar, perhaps. It's the exact same categories of people as we heard about in our reading today. And Jesus was saying he was there to do something about it. And then in the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 26, he echoes his father's expectations that his followers would and should feed the hungry, clothe the poor, care for the sick, and visit prisoners. Whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me, he said. And then the early church practiced justice and social concern. For instance, the passage in Acts 4 that we looked at a few weeks ago describes how they shared their possessions with each other so that nobody was in want. And we read of them caring for widows, healing the sick, raising money when there was a famine to help other believers. So we've really not even scratched the surface of this huge subject, but for me it is really clear. God is passionate about justice. Jesus modelled it. The early church practiced it. We must, as kingdom people, engage in justice. As I've already acknowledged, this is a huge and daunting subject. So where could we start? Well, first of all, how about developing our view so it's more in line with God's perspective? I've been doing quite a lot of training on unconscious bias recently. And one of the things you learn is that our reactions to people and situations are instinctive and they're hugely influenced by many factors. So, for instance, our gender, our age, our politics, our marital status, socioeconomic status, ethnicity and education will view how we see the world, will affect how we see the world. And our childhood and our parents' attitudes will also have affected us. I remember right from when I was a very little girl, when I used to go food shopping with my mother, she would not buy South African fruit because she was so opposed to the apartheid regime then in force. And so even though I really didn't know anything about apartheid or what it meant for the people who lived under it, I had a very early lesson in the wrongness of treating people differently because of their colour. Other lessons, other influences on me will have had a negative impact and made me think more negatively about certain people or situations. We can't change these inbuilt instincts easily, but what we can do is seek to modify them through understanding God's perspective more clearly. And then that will enable us to try and behave as he wishes, not superficially, as God accuses the people in Isaiah, but through what he calls true fasting. What does that mean? Fasting in the Bible usually meant going without food and drink as a way of showing sincerity and humility, that you are genuinely trying to seek God's way, seeking something from him. That might be forgiveness of sin or protection, but sometimes it was guidance. So, for instance, the apostles would fast before choosing who to send on a mission journey. And Jesus fasted in the desert before starting his ministry as he sought God's guidance. So, a challenge. What might we give up this week to show our sincerity in seeking to understand God's perspective on something? It might not be food or drink. Perhaps it could be social media one day so that we could focus on God. Maybe it would be not watching television one evening and watching a Christian video instead. As a student, I chose not to study on a Sunday, but relax and enjoy church and enjoy time with friends, even when I had my final exams approaching. And as well as giving things up, God says that true fasting, showing true humility, true sincerity and seeking him, is shown in how we treat others, in demonstrating that justice and mercy and kindness There are, of course, many other ways to grow in our understanding of God's perspective. But as I say, perhaps this week we might want to challenge ourselves and give something up. The second thing we might want to think about is, what are we interested in already? You know, we can't possibly get interested in everything, can we, or involved in everything. It's much easier to get involved in something that we feel interested in already. So I wonder, what's an area of particular concern for you? You might have been able to deduce some of my interests from the statistics I gave at the beginning. Climate change, access to water and sanitation, giving children a better chance in life. Maybe you feel passionate about refugees. Maybe you joined a Black Lives Matter march or would have liked to do so. Maybe you applauded Marcus Rashford when he got the government to give children school meal vouchers over the summer. You know, whatever you're interested in, find out about it, get educated, check out the websites, follow somebody who knows something about it. I think that last point is really important because, again, our learned views and attitudes can influence how we see issues and maybe distort them. When I was in Tanzania last year, that seems a very long time ago that we could freely visit other countries. When I was there, one day we'd been out and we were driving back to George's house, and there were some mountains in the distance which, as the sun was setting, looked almost purple. And I said, wow, isn't that beautiful? And George just sort of glanced at them and he said, life in the mountains is really tough. There's very little infrastructure, no roads, very difficult to access healthcare and education. And I just thought, wow, you know, I was seeing those mountains from the perspective of a privileged white woman from a first world country. George, who'd grown up in that country in poverty, had a completely different perspective. And so when I was flying back to the capital a couple of days later to get my plane home, we were flying over the mountains and I looked down and I could see these little huts dotted around, far apart from each other. And because of what George had said, I started thinking, what's it like to live there so far from anybody else? What's it like if you're a woman with an abusive husband? What's it like if your children are ill or they're really bright but you can't get into school? What's it like if your crops fail and there's nowhere that you can go to earn money to feed your children? It just gave me an utterly different perspective. There's a saying, isn't there? Before you judge a man, walk a mile in his shoes. I'm not sure it's possible to walk in somebody else's shoes, really, unless maybe, like some of our mission partners, you actually go and live in another community. But at least we can recognise that somebody else wears a very different pair of shoes to us. And maybe we can start to get an idea of what those shoes look like, what colour and shape they are, if you like. And then why not tell somebody else about your interests? Maybe you'll find other like-minded people who can tell you more or might want to get involved with you on taking action. Maybe you could persuade Dave that we should have a session on Seminar Sunday about it. And maybe you will influence somebody, like my mum and George influenced me. Well, someone who has done just this, identified an interest in something and found out about it, is Lois Hornby. And hopefully, all being well, we're now going to have a brief video from her explaining one of her passions.
Hello, I'm Lois. I go to St Andrew's Church and I'm going to talk about an area of injustice that I'm interested in and how I got involved in it. I'm interested in systemic injustice, which is the systems that cause injustice. For example, the people that make our clothes rarely get paid a living wage and often work in dangerous conditions. This system is unjust. Or wealthy economies such as the UK emit greenhouse gases, which causes climate change for the whole world. This unjust system causes a lot of problems, such as drought, which such as droughts, which are pushing a lot of people who are already in poverty further into poverty. In the Bible, we see that God cares about meeting people's immediate needs, like the Good Samaritan in last week's sermon. But we also see that God commands us to speak up on behalf of the oppressed. This includes speaking up against systems that cause oppression. A great example of this is when God hears the cries of the Israelites who are slaves in Egypt. Instead of calling Moses to go and meet their immediate needs, God asks Moses to address the cause of their suffering, which is the system of slavery. He asks Moses to go to the person in power, which is Pharaoh, and ask him to let the Israelites go free. We also see in the Old Testament laws that our laws, politics, environmental policies, and economics matter to God. God gave the Israelites laws about these things because they are essential for a just society. Sometimes, though, when we look at the injustices in this world, they seem big and overwhelming, and we don't know where to start. What I found really helpful is finding organisations that are already working on these issues and looking for ways to get involved. Organisations want us to be informed about justice issues and to engage with them and support them in their work. So they usually suggest ways that we can do this. I'd recommend going to the websites of organisations such as Tear Fund, Christian Aid, Open Doors, Home for Good, Christians in Politics, CSW, and there's lots more, and find out ways we can get involved with these charities. They might have campaigns you can join, or tips on how to write to your MP, or things to pray for. So find something you're passionate about, find an organisation that is already doing something about it. Another way that we can influence systems that cause injustice is through thinking about what we buy. When we buy something, it's like a vote. For example, when we buy fair trade chocolate, it's like we're voting for fair trade companies. So we can vote for food with less plastic packaging, or food that's local, or clothes that were produced by workers who were paid a fair wage. To find other ways to make a difference, you can type into Google something like ways to live greener, or go to the goodshoppingguide.com and you'll have lots of suggestions. Lastly, I find it helps to remember that our mighty God is working in the world to bring about justice and is inviting us to join him in this. God is compassionate and powerful and has filled you with his Holy Spirit. So let's join in with what God is doing, encourage each other, and expect God to move powerfully through us. Thank you.
Thank you, Lois. I mean, it's just great to hear all your enthusiasm for that subject and what you're trying to do about it. Trying to cover really anything about this vast subject in 20 minutes was always going to be really, really difficult. But I do hope that what I've done is demonstrate why justice has to be core, has to be integral to us as kingdom people. And I hope too that maybe it's encouraged you to identify and find out more about something if you haven't already done so, and to become as passionate about it as God is. And it'd be great to find out from some of you what you're interested in and what you're doing about it in due course. But to end, I really didn't feel I could do better than to echo some words of Jesus as we acknowledge that the world is still far from the way that we would want it to be, let alone how God would want it to be. And so I'm just going to speak those words of Jesus from his prayer that he taught his disciples to end. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Come set your rule and reign.
And as we come towards the end of our service, we come to the big pile of wheat that has been harvested. The harvest is now all in the barns here at Grove House Farm. And you can see just the beautiful pile of wheat that there is here. And just it reminds me that we want to offer a harvest practically too at this time. And although many of you are not able to be at St Andrews to come and bring some food, there are two different ways that you can bring some food and donate this year. We're going to be collecting tins of soup for the Mags Day Centre over at the Salvation Army. We're also going to be collecting food and toiletries for the new community pantry at the Octagon, which we heard about on the mailing last week. And if you'd like to bring and donate any food for that, then please do bring that down to St Andrews this week in the mornings and just drop it in the basket there and we will pass that on. But finally, I want to just finish with some words from Matthew chapter 9. And it says there that when Jesus walked around the towns and villages, he saw the crowds and had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers to his harvest fields." And I want to invite you now to just close your eyes and to imagine where God is sending you to this week, to your communities. Imagine walking around your community, your neighbourhoods, your workplaces, places where you go and do leisure activities. They are your harvest fields. And just in your mind, think of some of the people that you're going to meet this week, some of the places you're going to go, some of the needs that you're going to encounter. This is the place God is sending you, his harvest fields. And as we picture these people and places in our minds, ask God to give you his compassion for them. Ask him to give you his eyes to see the injustices in these places. Ask him to give you his hands and feet, his voice to be his worker in these harvest fields this week. And finally, as we respond to Jesus' call for us, we remember that we don't do this alone, but that God gives us his Holy Spirit to empower us. So as you stand there and as you perhaps open your hands, Lord, fill us up with your Spirit and send us out to the work you're calling us to this week. And so may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in your harvest field this week. In the name of Christ. Amen.